love.
Mistress.
Master, Sir Thurio frowns on you.
Aye, boy, it's for love.
Not of you.
Of my mistress, then.
So could you not see me?
Shh. Servant, you are sad.
Indeed, madam, I seem, sir.
Seem you that you are not?
Happy I do.
So do counterfeits.
So do you.
What seem I that I am not?
Why?
In what instance of the contrary?
Your folly.
I'll quote you my folly.
I quote it in your jerkin.
My jerkin is a doublet.
Why, then, I'll double your folly.
How?
Oh, angry Cecilia. Do you change colour?
Did him leave, madam. He's a kind of chameleon.
That has more mind to feed on your blood than live in your air.
You have said, sir.
Aye, sir. And done too for this time.
I know it well, sir. You always end ere you begin.
A fine volley of words, gentlemen. And quickly shut off.
Yes, indeed, madam. We thank the giver.
And who is that servant?
Yourself, sweet lady. For you gave the fire. Sir Thurio borrows his wit from your ladyship's looks. And spends what he borrows kindly in your company.
Sir, if you spend word for word with me, I shall make your wit bankrupt.
I know it well, sir. You have an exchequer of words, and I think no other treasure to give your followers, for it appears by their bare liveries that they live by your bare words.
No more, gentlemen. No more. Here comes my father.
Now, Daughter Sylvia, you are hard dissessed. Sir Valentine, your father is in good health. What say you to a letter from your friends? Of much good news.
My lord, I will be thankful to any happy messenger from thence.
Know you Don Antonio, your countryman?
Aye, my good lord. I know the gentleman to be of worth and worthy estimation, and not without desert so well reputed.
Have you not a son?
Aye, my good lord. A son that well deserves the honor and regard of such a father.
You know him well?
I know him as myself. For from our infancy have we conversed and spent our hours together. And though myself have been an idle truant, omitting the sweet benefit of time to clothe mine age with angel-like perfection, yet hath Sopratius, for that his name, made use and fair advantage of his days. His years but young, but his experience old. His head unmellowed, but his judgment ripe. And in a word, for far behind his worth comes all the praises that I now bestow. He is complete in feature and in mind, with all good grace to grace a gentleman.
You shrew me, sir, but if he make this good, he is as worthy for an empress' love as meet to be an emperor's counsellor. Well, sir, this gentleman is come to me with commendation from great potentates, and here he means to spend his time a while. I think this is no unwelcome news to you.
Should I have wished the thing it had been he?
Welcome him, then, according to his worth. Sylvia, I speak to you, and you, Sir Thurio, or Valentine, I need not cite him to it. I'll send him hither to you presently.
This is the gentleman I told your ladyship had come along with me. But that his mistress did hold his eyes locked in her crystal looks.
Belike that now she has enfranchised them upon some other pawn for fealty.
Nay, sure. I think she holds them prisoner still.
Nay, then he should be blind. And being blind, how could he find his way to seek out you?
My lady, love hath 20 pair of eyes.
They say that love hath not an eye at all.
To see such love as Thurio as yourself. Upon a homely object, love can wink.
Have done, have done. Here comes the gentleman.
Welcome, dear Proteus. Mistress, I beseech you, confirm his welcome with some special favour.
His worth is warrant for his welcome hither. If this be he you oft have wished to hear from.
Mistress, it is. Sweet lady, entertain him to be my fellow servant to your ladyship.
To know a mistress for so high a servant.
Not so, sweet lady. Too mean a servant to have a look of such a worthy mistress. Leave off this cause of disability. Sweet lady, entertain him for your servant. My duty when I boast of nothing else.
And duty never yet did want his meat. Servant, you are welcome to a worthless mistress.
I'll die on him that says so, but yourself.
What, that you are welcome?
That you are worthless.
Madam, my lord, your father will speak with you.
I wait upon his pleasure. Come, Sir Thurio, go with me. Once more, new servant, welcome. We leave you to confirm with home affairs, and when you have done, we look to hear from you.
We'll both attend upon your ladyship.
But tell me, how do all from whence you came?
Your friends are well and have them much commended.
And how do yours?
I left them all in hope.
How does your lady? And how thrives your love?
My tales of love will want to weary you. I know you joy not in a love discourse.
I protest, but that life is altered now.
I have done penance for contemning love, whose high imperious thoughts have punished me with bitter fasts, with penitential groans, with nightly tears and daily heart-sore sighs, for in revenge of my contempt of love. Love hath chased sleep from my enthralled eyes and made them watchers of mine own heart's sorrow. Oh, gentle Proteus, love's a mighty lord and hath so humbled me as I confess there is no woe for his correction nor to his service. No such joy on earth. Now, no discourse except it be of love. Now can I break my fast, dine, sup, and sleep upon the very naked name of love.
Enough.
I read your fortune in your eye. Was this the idol that you worship so?
You see. And is she not a heavenly saint?
No. But she is an earthly paragon.
Called a divine.
I will not flatter her.
Well, flatter me, for love delights in praises.
When I was sick, you gave me bitter pills, and I must minister the like to you.
Then speak the truth by her.
If not divine, yet let her be a principality, sovereign to all the creatures on the earth.
Except my mistress.
Sweet, accept not any, except thou wilt accept against my love.
Have I not reason to prefer my mistress?
And I will help thee to prefer her, too. She shall be dignified with this high honour, to bear my lady's train, lest the base earth should from her vesture chance to steal a kiss, and of so great a favour growing proud, disdain to root the summer swelling flower, and make rough winter everlasting.
Valentine, what braggadism is this?
Pardon me, Proteus, all I can is nothing to her, whose worth makes other worthies nothing. She is alone.
Then let her alone.
Not for the world. And she is mine own, and I as rich in having such a jewel as 20 seas. If all were sand or pearl, the water, nectar, and the rocks pure gold. Forgive me that I do not dream on thee, because thou seest me dote upon my love. My foolish rival, that her father likes only for his possessions are so huge, is gone with her along. And I must after, for love, thou knowest, is full of jealousy.
But she loves you.
Aye. And we are betrothed.
Nay,
more. Our marriage hour, with all the cunning manner of our flight, determined on how I must climb her window, the ladder made of cords, and all the means plotted and agreed on for my happiness.
Good Proteus, go with me to my chamber. In these affairs,
to aid me with thy counsel. Go on before. I shall inquire you forth. I must unto the road to disembark some necessaries that I needs must use. Then I'll presently attend you.
Will you make haste?
I will.
As one nail by strength drives out another. So the remembrance of my former love is by a newer object quite forgotten. Is it my mind or Valentine's praise? Her true perfection or my false transgression that makes me reason as to reason thus? She is fair, so is Julia that I love. As I did love, for now my love is thawed. Like a waxen image against a fire, bears no impression of the thing it was. Thinks my zeal to Valentine is cold, and that I love him not as I was wont. But I love his lady too, too much. And that's the reason I love him so little. How shall I dote on her with more advice, that thus without advice begin to love her? 'Tis but a picture I have yet beheld, and that doth dazzle at my reason's light. I look on her perfections. There is no reason but I shall be blind. If I can check my erring love, I will. If not, to compass her, I'll use my...